there, and tonight on I Want to Believe, we are going to dive headfirst right into it here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Thank you guys for joining us once again. It's a lovely February 19th here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Hold for applause.
Is it the 19th?
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
Okay.
5 days away from Valentine's Day.
After?
Yes, but it's still 5 days away. It's
technically away, yes.
Okay. Just...
All right. Let's get through this roster real quick. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. I am the purveyor of the macabre down at the end of the table. I don't know why I'm doing it this way.
You always do it this way.
It's like the PW thing. Because I always mean to go to Calvin first. Because I always go to Asa first at the end of the table. Down at the end of the table is the lesser A-Bear, Ali A-Bear.
Wow. I'll remember that.
It's like a Telltale game. Ali will remember that. To my right, the drunken Lindsay Wolfgang.
I'm not drunk. I'm sick and I'm tired and sleep deprived.
Filling in for Tanner Calvert, who could not be here with us tonight. As always. At this point, it's going to be filling in for Lindsay tonight, even though she's here. Tanner Calvert. And then to my left, Calvin A. Bear.
What's up?
No relation. Who had a great day purchasing furniture.
Actually, it was purchased yesterday, but it was delivered today.
Oh, right. I forgot they do that. So we were going to do a thing tonight, just a heads up. We were going to do a main topic of the most significant paranormal events in human history. I wanted to go over some of the things that, like, that people are debating still today. Like, if you're new to the world of the paranormal and you're like looking for the entry point of, okay, what should I know? I was going to put a list together of it. Unfortunately, due to the interference of one Zach Kurgis.
I mean, we could probably do it off the top of our heads.
We could, but I wanted to have like
he
hard
wants to
facts.
Actually okay. Go
you know, I want
to
have like, yeah. I wanted to have the
it's
full
not like you have a computer in front of you or anything.
Oh, but then it's going to be the awkward moments where I'm like, oh, hold on, guys. Let me look it up.
You get the typing sounds.
Yeah. Because it's, well, it's
I'm
not
coherent enough right now to.
Well, you're not hosting, though.
I know.
I don't think you've ever actually hosted a show.
No.
You should try it once.
Maybe.
Has anyone here hosted a show? Is Allie?
No. Oh,
okay.
God,
I was
going to
say, like...
Wow.
Why would I ever let Allie host a show?
I mean, I know it's fake, but it really sounded real.
I hope the listeners enjoyed that one. I went into my Chris Farley laugh. So instead tonight, Allie, are you okay?
No. You're mean.
Oh, I'm sweating too because I'm pretty sure Lindsay turned that heat up. What'd you crank it to?
You told her to. 69.
Oh, Allie.
She doesn't even know.
She doesn't even know. It's the goddamn
I'm
sexy.
Still freezing.
That's the
I'm
sex
so
temperature.
I'm so cold.
All right, so tonight, here what we are going to talk about instead. Main event, main topic tonight, we're going to talk about paranormal TV. It's something I've been wanting to talk about for a while. You've seen the shows, Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters. My God, there's a laundry list of them. And we're going to debate whether or not these shows should be taken seriously. Are they hurting the paranormal community? All kinds of stuff like that. Until then, we have some stories that I found interesting from the world of the paranormal that we're going to talk about first. You guys ready to jump into this?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Go for it.
It's lackluster.
That's so sad. Our first story, so what I do is I put little titles at the top to remind myself of which stories are which. I go actually do a lot of research on these. This story is called Zombie Deer Ate My Neighbors.
That sounds like a Goosebumps book.
Well, or just a really dark nursery rhyme kind of thing.
Hey. Put it on the list, Lindsay.
What?
When we make our
book?
Our scariest, new scary stories to tell in the dark.
Zombie Deer Ate My Neighbor.
Zombie Deer Ate My Neighbors. Of course, a take on the classic Zombies Ate My Neighbors game for the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, followed up by Ghoul Patrol, a much harder to find and lesser quality sequel.
Isn't that Ghoul Patrol a stupid expensive game?
It is. Yeah. Anyway, so this is from Popular Science. I had heard about this story last week. But I didn't know that it was so serious, or it's serious in the same way that probably killer bees are serious, but I found it interesting, so let's check it out. If you've heard of zombie deer, and how many of you here have heard of zombie deer?
I have not.
Good. Oh, Allie's got a face.
I might.
She's thinking I may have heard of zombie deer.
I feel like I saw something on Facebook.
Have been from Bendy and the Ink Machine.
It was not. There are no deer in that. Only evil... cartoon ink creatures.
Anyway, you probably did see
rubber hose.
You probably did see it on Facebook. But if you've heard of zombie deer, you've heard of the horrors of chronic wasting disease. Chronic wasting disease causes infected animals to stumble through the forest, sometimes drooling and becoming aggressive towards humans they once feared. They lose weight, they're listless, and the spookiest thing about it isn't its resemblance to zombiedom. It's the fact that it is an incurable... Calvin, I need your help pronouncing this word because I'm going to screw it up. Prion? Prion? Prion?
Prion, I think.
Say prion disease. Now, Lindsay, if you didn't know...
What is prion?
I'm glad you asked. Prions are misfolded proteins that are somehow infectious and for which we have no treatments or cures. If you were to catch one, you'd basically deteriorate over the course of several months, possibly losing the ability to speak or move, and eventually you would die. Doctors wouldn't be able to do anything to save you. Right now, CWD, or chronic wasting disease, appears limited to deer, moose, and elk, but University of Minnesota researchers warned local lawmakers this week that we should be taking action now to prevent the potential spread to humans.
Because it's at the moment in hooved creatures.
Like humans.
We don't have hooves, but people do eat deer.
That's true. So Michael Osterholm, director of the university's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Prevention, testified that it, quote, is in my best professional judgment based on my public health experience and the risk of BSE transmission to humans in the 1980s and 1990s, and my extensive review and evaluation of laboratory research studies, that it is probable that human cases of CWD associated with the consumption of contaminated meat will be documented in the years ahead. It is possible that number of human cases will be substantial and will not be isolated events. Now, chronic wasting disease has been spreading since at least 1981, when it was first identified in wild deer. It had been found in captive deer in the late 1960s. It began in Colorado, but since then has spread to Wyoming, then even further into the Midwest, that's where we are, and Southwest. As of 2019, it's in 24 states.
That's terrifying.
Most of these locations have low infection rates among local animal population, but according to the CDC, some have rates above 10 or even 25%. Though there's still no concrete evidence that the disease can cross the species boundary into humans, both the CDC and the World Health Organization considers there to be a possibility that it can or one day could. So, we are talking about the actual zombie apocalypse, if this were to happen.
Zombie deer apocalypse.
That's where it starts.
It's caused by deer.
Yeah, it's got to start somewhere. Even Night of the Living Dead, if you remember correctly, no one knows where the zombie outbreak started.
Fair.
Turns out it was deer. The whole time.
Or moose.
Or elk. So it's kind of terrifying to think about because I have been preparing for the zombie outbreak my entire life. I think we all have because we all grew up on horror films except for Lindsay and Allie.
And video games.
And video games. You and I mostly video games for sure.
Because
sure.
I'm a pansy.
I saw Jackson Crowley actually posted about this and he put...
That's where he saw it.
He's like, I've been preparing for this my whole life.
Yes, I saw that.
So imagine this. It really is zombies. You are rotting from the inside out. You are listless. You have no like verbal communication skills. You become listless. You become paranoid. I mean, it sounds like actual zombie stuff. The only difference is you're still alive and not dead, but you are rotting to death and it's incurable. So if this is something that really could be spread amongst humans, we are looking at total annihilation.
Do you have a hunger for brains?
Does it spread through biting?
Let me answer these one at a time. I work for the CDC.
Okay.
Actually, I have my friend Matt Sin on the phone. He works for the Center for Disease Control. I'll relay the question to him. Yep. Okay, Matt says that, yes, it can be spread through bites. And, yes, you will crave human brains.
I don't believe him.
So, actually...
I don't believe you're on the phone with him.
How could you tell? Well, the fact that I have no... Oh, she's looking at me. I actually do want to talk to Matt about this because he really does work for a disease center. So I'm curious to see what he thinks about this because if it's true that you could spread this disease through contaminated meat, it could be really dangerous. They thought that what mad cow disease was impossible to spread to humans, and then they found out that it could be spread to humans. So if this is something... I mean, I'm sure if it does spread to humans, the only way to spread it to another human would probably be if that human maybe consumed your flesh as opposed to you biting them. But who knows? If it's passable through blood at some point, it could be. I don't know. These are all terrifying possibilities. And I don't know what I would do if one of you turned into this deer zombie style.
Can we go Ghost Dawn of the Dead?
Die anyway.
You just want to chuck records at people?
That's well, also Shaun of the Dead. I think he said Dawn of the Dead.
No, I said Shaun. Of the Dead.
I prefer Dawn of the Dead. Uh-huh. We all sit on the top of a mall and we shoot people in the face.
Well, but if one of us turned, like, locked me up and let me play video games at the end of the movie.
I saw some pictures of these deer, and it's truly terrifying. Like, these deers look like they're from Chaffee, Missouri. They're methed out. They they just look awful. And I mean, this could be another one of those things that's like, what was it, killer bees or anything else that they've ever used in the media to scare us, because that's something they love to do. But this is something I'm legitimately afraid of. Thank God I don't eat deer. Never have.
That you know of.
I've had deer one time. I think Lindsay's family made that me eat you know deer of. Steak yes. or something.
Yes.
And it wasn't that good. Excuse me.
I think it's good in sausage.
Do you eat deer?
Deer sausage?
I like deer jerky. Have.
I haven't. I don't frequently.
Now I'm going to go into a coughing fit.
Oh, look what God. You did.
No, he's turning into a zombie.
Why'd you break him?
No, I'm not. God damn it. I gotta get some water. I'll be right back.
It's my job to break him.
Okay. Just,
like.
Oh, thanks, Calvin.
You're welcome.
You okay?
I got a strange craving for brains.
I mean, you just downed like a fourth of that water.
Oh, well, a fourth of a fourth.
Which no, it was like a eighth. Fourth of the bottle.
Okay, sorry about that. So, what were we talking about?
Brains.
Deer meat.
There's a lot of hunters around here. That's the first true. Person amongst our group to die would be Tanner Calvert.
Yes.
To die or to turn?
To turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't they go hand in hand?
Well, no, because I imagine...
It makes them aggressive.
Exactly. If Tanner Calvert turned aggressive and started attacking us, we would have no defense.
Yeah.
We'd have to just put a bucket over his head and hope he doesn't bite us.
No, small spaces.
What?
Small spaces. Just like crawl through a vent or something. He won't.
Oh, well, yeah, that's going to work for me. I'll just crawl.
I'm concerned about me, man.
You son of a bitch. It's that old rule. I don't have to be faster than them. I just have to be faster than you.
Yeah. Well, I just have to be smaller than you.
Yeah. I'll find somebody. I'll kick Jesse down.
Oh, okay.
Good luck, buddy. All right, so that's the zombie portion of the show. And if you're not afraid of zombie deer, you should be. This is a real threat.
I have a zombie deer in WoW.
I also have one.
Some of these areas, think about this, 25% of some of these areas have infected deer that have this disease. 25%.
That's a lot.
That's like one fourth.
So wait, do you mean 25% of the area is infected or 25%
of the deer in the area is infected?
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That just scares the hell out of me. I saw that story and I kind of freaked out because we've all dreamed of the zombie apocalypse and what it would take to do it. There's lots of beliefs of zombies. There's the voodoo belief, which was mostly based on
like the oldest one.
It is, yeah. But it was really based on like there's like a drug that they make over there which can make it seem like you are dead and it puts you in a state of suggestiveness. So that's kind of what they base that zombie belief on. Romero
bath salts.
What's that?
Bath salts.
No, bath salts is what people in Chaffee made when they saw that movie about the voodoo stuff.
I thought it was Florida.
Also, yes,
Chaffee to Florida. There's a direct line. Romero, of course, popularized the dead zombies, which this is not. This is dying zombies. I'm scared. Y'all don't have to be scared if you don't want to be. But when the deer zombie apocalypse comes, don't hide in my tent.
What about the infected?
I mean, like
Walking Dead infected style zombies.
Do you remember, speaking of Florida and zombies, there was a guy a couple of years ago, probably 10 years ago at this point, I believe it was an African-American gentleman. I may be wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure. He was high on bath salts. This is when the whole zombie bath salt craze started.
Yeah. In Florida, yeah.
Yeah. And the dude was literally eating the face off of a homeless guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He attacked this homeless guy. He literally chewed his face off. Police came and shot him. They shot him multiple times. He was so high on bath salts, they couldn't stop him. So it really did seem like a goddamn zombie was coming after the police. And now it could be a reality. Widespread. Not just amongst the Chaffee people, but important people could be affected by this. All right, moving on.
Okay.
We have friends in Chaffee.
And they'll be the first to die. I'll mourn them. Are you throwing markers?
Yes.
What happened to this show? It used to be so professional. When I was skimming through the news today, trying to find, you know, the cool things, I found a story about a ghost ship that I had never heard before. And I thought it was so interesting. This has nothing to do with this. This isn't current or topical. But it's okay, so very cool.
What era of ship?
1947.
Okay.
So, according to the story that I had read, at some point or time in or around June 1947, two American vessels navigating the Straits of Malacca, the city of Baltimore, and the Silver Star, among others passing by, picked up distress messages from nearby Dutch merchant ship, the Orang Medan. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. O-U-R-A-N-G-M-E-D-A-N. A radio operator aboard the troubled vessel sent the following message in Morse code. SOS from the Orang Medan. We float. All officers, including the captain, dead in chart room and on the bridge. Probably whole crew dead. A few confused dots and dashes of Morse code later, two words came through clearly. They were, I die. Then, after that chilling message, there was nothing more heard of. When the Silver Star crew eventually located and boarded the apparently undamaged Orang Medan in an attempt at a rescue, the ship was found littered with corpses, including the carcass of a dog, everywhere, with the dead bodies found sprawled on their backs, the frozen and badly frightened faces of the deceased upturned to the sun, above which mouths gaping open and eyes staring straight ahead, with the corpses resembling horrible caricatures. Jesus, I'm still sick. No survivors were located, and no visible signs of injuries of the dead bodies were observed. Just as the ship was prepared to be towed by the Silver Star to a nearby port, a fire broke out in the ship's number 4 cargo hold, forcing the boarding party to hastily evacuate the doomed Dutch freighter, thus preventing any further investigations to be carried out. Soon after, the ship was witnessed as exploding before finally sinking. So,
jeez.
Yeah, I had never heard of this before, and I thought this was incredibly fascinating. Now, the weird part is, in full honesty, this has been written about many, many times, but there is no proof that this ship ever existed. Like, it's not on any of the lists. It's not on any of the, like, registered ships at that time period. So some people believe this is just a legend, a tall tale. However, there are other people that believe the reason it wasn't listed is the same reason that it went down. Possible causes for this accident theorized include unsecured hazardous material cargo. Some hypothesize that the ship might have been involved in smuggling operations of chemical substances, such as a combination of potassium cyanide and nitroglycerin, or even wartime stocks of nerve agents. So it was an unlicensed ship that was hauling illegal freight. Something happened, and everyone died. And the ship burned up before any evidence could really be procured. Other causes, carbon monoxide poisoning, theory that an undetected smoldering fire or malfunction in the ship's boiler system might have been responsible for the shipwreck. And, of course, where I jump in is the paranormal. The stories appeared to be in various magazines and books, beginning with a 1953 article in Fate magazine. Circumstantial evidence cited by these sources from these magazines included the apparent absence of a natural cause of death, the reportedly terrified expressions on the faces of the deceased, and rumors that some of the dead were pointing toward an unknown enemy. I found very interesting. Public interest in the story of the ship is reflected in correspondence sent to the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. In December 1959, C.H. Mark Jr. of Scottsdale, Arizona, sent a private letter to the director of the CIA, Alan Dulles, I hope. Within the letter, Mark first asked the recipient of the letter if they believe the story of the ship deals with something from the unknown, then retells the story of the ship and its sinking. So the head of the CIA was in correspondence with this guy, and they were treating it as it could be something from the unknown caused the ship to do it. So there is some legitimacy to the story. I don't know what it is, but that's the kind of thing that they make horror movies about.
Seriously. Yeah.
And I would love to know more information about this. I don't know if you'd ever heard of this ship.
I have not.
Exactly.
I mean, I haven't heard of a lot of ghost ships like that.
I find ghost ships to be particularly fascinating.
The only ghost ships I can remember are like Flying Dutchman, which are different kind of ghost ships.
But the ghost ships of that era, like those ghost ships are like actual ghost ships.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're a different kind of ghost ship.
As opposed to this, which was an actual ship that just like, what happened to these
the
people?
Crew.
It reminds me, there was a, remember the flight from a couple of years ago? It was a Malaysian flight. I'm trying to remember. It's like MH370. The one that just disappeared.
Yeah.
And they've still never found it. And they keep thinking that they found wreckage or they found parts of it that may have, you know, washed up on an island here or there. But no one knows what happened to this ship, this airplane. And this is kind of like that. Like, it's one of those great mysteries of what the hell happened to these people. Especially their faces are twisted in terror. They're pointing at something. What the hell is it? It sounds like Godzilla.
Cthulhu.
You know, I have to check to see where that is, to see that, make sure that's not around the same area. Because you've heard of Bloop, right?
The sound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which emanated from the same area that H.P. Lovecraft said that Cthulhu rests under the water. So there are people that actually believe that H.P. Lovecraft wrote,
it was like a prophet.
Yeah, that he was in on these secret dealings and wrote this about this, you know, elder god, and that it's actually true.
Look, all the Eldritch stuff makes me, like, when you actually look into what kind of weird lore there is, it kind of makes your skin itch, because some of it's real weird.
I'm surprisingly less versed on H.P. Lovecraft than I'd like to be, because I have a book that Lindsay got me for Christmas a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I have like the entire, all of his stories, and I've read one or two of them. I know H.P. Lovecraft to be a very flawed man.
Sure.
And kind of a bastard. So, you know, in this era of being quote-unquote woke, it's hard to enjoy the work of someone who was not a great person.
The art from the artist.
Yeah, I read some things about John Wayne today from a Playboy interview he did that made me wish I hadn't read them.
Yeah.
Because, again, what a son of a bitch. Allie, what do you think happened to this crew of this ship that I cannot pronounce correctly?
I don't know, but it reminds me of the mountain climbers.
Oh, the Dietlev Pass?
Yeah, that they can't explain what happened to them.
Yeah, so but there's creepy. There's almost more evidence for that.
Yeah, because they actually found... Well, because the ship burned up.
Yeah.
Like, they found no wreckage of it either. So even in the years that have passed, they found nothing about it. With the Dietlev Pass incident... they found the hikers. They found the
A tent. They found fireplaces. They found clothing.
We should explain what that was for people that are listening. So basically, I need to look up the years because
it's a really good movie.
It was a good movie. It was. I'm looking it up.
My least favorite explanation for that is the Yeti thing.
I hate Yeti.
You say there's more evidence for it, but they've come up with hardly any answers for any of the evidence they've found.
Hey, evidence and explanations are completely different things.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, so apparently it was in the late 50s in Russia.
Man, that's way later than I thought it was.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, it was between the 1st and the 2nd of February, 1959, in the Ural Mountains. Yeah, Ural Mountains in the Soviet Union. Nine hikers went out exploring or they're looking for something, I don't know. And they were all died. And they found them. I don't remember when they found them. It was a little while later. The crazy thing was, like, some of them were found outside of their tents. Well, all of them, I think, were found outside of their tents.
Yeah, yes. Naked.
Some were naked. They had trauma from the inside, which is the weirdest part.
They had trauma from the inside, and they froze to death.
But they were running from something.
They had, like, burns or something, too, didn't they?
Yeah, and...
Well, probably frostburn on the nose.
Oh.
And, well, no, I think they had, like, actual burns, but one of the theories was because they had, like, ran away from their campsite, and they lit another fire to stay warm. And so a lot of the theories were they just, because they didn't have clothes, they were so close to the fire that it actually started
burning them. And that's the crazy thing about it is that they ran from their tents.
Yeah.
Yeah, ran from their tents, half naked. You can actually find pictures online of the bodies. I don't recommend it. It's pretty disturbing. But no one knows what happened. There's theories that, like you said, there was a Yeti that killed them. There's theories about aliens. that alien abduction, radiation, maybe government experiments. But no one really knows. These people just kind of ran off in the middle of the night into the absolute blistering cold, half naked from something. They were so scared.
Like there was a major blizzard going on kind of thing, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And they didn't all go the same direction.
No, but they all ran from safety.
Yeah, from their camp.
It's a fascinating story. Something we should talk about at some point. I think you guys should look it up.
If you're going like hiking on any kind of icy place, you have things you can use as weapons.
Yeah.
Like somewhere there was a weapon that you could use, and every one of them chose to run.
So whatever it was that scared them, it was so terrifying that they ran blindly into the snow, knowing that it would probably kill them.
Into the dark.
And that whatever did kill them from the inside with no trauma to the outside. They had broken bones. They were broken from the inside, but there was no damage on the outside.
Except for being frozen.
Yeah, completely unexplainable. No one knows. They're actually launching another investigation into it.
I did hear that they were doing another investigation, but I didn't know how much backing it had.
It may be independent,
but
it's one of those things that they're never going to find out. Just like the Orang Medan, just like a flight from Malaysia, we'll never know what happened, and that's scary.
Unless they get the black box from the flight.
They have to find something first.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, if somebody finds the black box eventually.
We should also make a mention real quick about is the Mars rover that died.
Yeah.
Want to say our condolences to the Mars rover who had been up there for, 20 years?
Isn't there some kind of fundraiser thing to name the first colony on Mars, Curiosity.
That's cool. I did not know about that.
I think so.
A
petition or something.
The big thing was that his last words
were,
my
battery's
is low
getting
and
low
getting
and it's getting dark.
Aww.
Yeah. It's real sad.
That is the alleged thing it said. Snopes.com, which is a great site, by the way, says that's probably false. But it's a good story, yeah. Because what a sad death for this little robot. My batteries are running low and it's getting dark. Jesus.
Poor Wally. Someone I went to high school shared it was like, I'm not crying, you're crying.
That's so sad. I don't want to talk about it. Speaking of robots, though, this story is called Sorry Pat. You'll know why here in a second. It's from Wired.com. In London last month, a team from Alphabet's UK-based artificial intelligence research unit, I sound like Trump, DeepMind, quietly laid a new marker in the contest between humans and computers. Yes, this is another Shannon Hates technology story. On Thursday, it revealed the achievement in a 3-hour YouTube stream in which aliens and robots fought to the death. You know where I'm going with this?
Maybe.
DeepMind's broadcast showed its artificial intelligence bot, AlphaStar, defeating a professional player at the complex real-time strategy game, StarCraft II. Humanity's champion.
I'm okay with this.
This is why it's Sorry Pat.
Yeah.
25-year-old. That's a G, an R, and a Z next to each other, so that's a no.
What, is it Korean?
Do you got some like hockey players' names on there?
It's like Gerzegorz Kamins of Poland. Right here. Zergigors.
I don't know.
I'm an American. We're going to call him Steve. Steve of Poland lost 5-0.
Wow.
The machine's learning-powered software appeared to have discovered strategies unknown to the pros, who compete for millions of dollars of prizes offered each year in one of esports' most lucrative games, including Pat Kennedy, brother to Mandy Kennedy, one of the players here on the show, is a huge StarCraft nerd. Like a total nerd. Never had sex in his life. And he plays StarCraft II all the time.
Shots fired.
I love Pat. He knows it. The professional player, known as Mana, said it was different from any StarCraft that I have played. The AlphaStar that beat Mana is far from being his all-around equal. For now, the bot can only play as one of three alien races available. In addition to its inhumanly long gameplay experience, DeepMind software perceived the game differently. Its views encompass everything visible in the game at once, while Mana had to pan around the map to see what was happening. AlphaStar is also capable of greater precision when steering and aiming units than a human wielding a computer mouse, although its reaction time is slower than a pro gamer's. The limitations of highly specialized AI seem to be on show when Mana played a live exhibition game Thursday night against an experimental version of AlphaStar that is limited to viewing the game map more like a human player, one zoomed in area at a time. DeepMind's data showed it is almost as good as the version that beat Mana over five games. But the newer bot quickly amassed an army powerful enough to crush its human rival, but Mana used smart maneuvers and experience from his loss to feint the forces into holding off. The delay bought him time to build up his own units and win. That adaptability is something we don't quite see from machine learning systems yet, says one of the creators. So, humans lost chess to DeepMind. They've lost checkers, and now we have lost StarCraft.
Huh.
Next, they'll be beating us in Call of Duty. You all say you want better AI when you play against video games. Like, is this what you want?
Yeah. I'd love that.
No, thank you.
You know me. I like the brutally hard stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm like Lisa Simpson. I like a challenge that I can beat.
That's not a challenge,
though. I want Garrett. No, it is to me. The challenge is that I played the game and I won. There's a reason that when I play games like Heroes of the Storm and League of Legends, I always like playing against a computer and put it on like normal because I like winning. Mm-hmm. I didn't like playing against other human players because I hated losing and I hated the embarrassment of not knowing what the hell I'm doing. Mm. So, yeah.
I understand not liking the fact that you don't know every aspect of the game yet. But
well, not so much that. It's also the people that taunt and make you feel like dirt for not knowing what you're doing. That's the hard part.
Well, just, you know.
Get better.
Yeah.
Get good better, scrub. Yeah. I appreciate that. So, Pat, if you're listening, and I know you're not, you're going to have to watch out for those computers because they're coming for you. All right, last story before we get to the main topic, and this is probably my favorite one. You remember Jose Canseco?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
He was a all-time legend baseball player. He played for the Oakland Athletics when I remembered him. I think he played for a couple other things. Has a really hot daughter.
Is that the important bit?
That has probably nothing to do with this story.
Okay. So it's the important bit.
Yeah. Couple bits.
Little bits.
Quit giving me that look.
I will not.
So.
And she looks away.
This is from Jose Canseco's verified Twitter. I shit you not. On February 12th, Jose Canseco typed, "Go on a Bigfoot and alien excursion with Jose Canseco. Contact Morgan Management at," I'm going to give you the number in case you're interested, 702-374-3735. The same day he tweeted out, "Come spend the day with me and my alien buddies. I'll show you Bigfoot and a real alien. Call Morgan," again, "at 702-374-3735. So we've already established at this point that he's insane. Or that he's selling, I don't know what he's selling.
Or he has just really big feet and he has his friend from Mexico with him. Like, just
wow. No look for Calvin. He didn't get a look, but I got a look.
It would be an alien. What do you want?
Huffington Post, by the way, called the phone number and received this text message: "Spend the weekend with Jose Canseco for $5,000 cash. Only five lucky individuals will get a golden ticket. Oompa Loompas ain't got nothing on Bigfoot. Travel in his custom RV to authentic alien sightings and proven Bigfoot habitats. Camp out in the wild, tell stories, and maybe meet a real Bigfoot. You never know what's going to happen with Mr. Canseco." By the way, food's included. That's important. "Only serious inquiries, please. I will help you book your flights to Vegas and set itineraries. Thank you, Morgan."
What food is included? Because if we learned anything from the fire
festival,
I'm assuming is that it could literally just be a piece of toast.
It's Jose Canseco, and he's a baseball player, so I'm assuming ballpark Franks.
But is it avocado toast?
No, it's not, because avocado toast is amazing.
I would know. I've never had an avocado.
You have had avocados.
I think I opened a wound.
I'm tired of that look. This isn't the first time Jose Canseco's been absolutely batshit insane, by the way. He actually he posted on January 30th, "We're in communication with aliens with a very flexible body composition called the AI 51. These aliens are going to teach us how to try and travel the brain can physically travel without the body. Aliens have been trying to teach us how to time travel, but first we have to change our body composition, which we are not willing to do. We have tried with animals and it has failed. Time travel puts 42,651 pounds of pressure on a human skeletal structure. Can you detach the brain from the body and equalize the pressure? It could be done."
What?
And when people called him out on it and said that's not possible, he said, "Our science is totally irrelevant to aliens."
Wow.
I'm so confused about what he's saying.
Yes.
Like, he blinds you with the luxury. He blinds you with the numbers, and you don't even get
like,
the second base on this one.
Dude, I don't even know where the freaking...
You don't even know what game you're playing.
Yeah.
Allie's giggling.
Steiner Matt.
Uh-huh. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, I love this because if ever you wanted to... One, I've said it before on the show, Bigfoot is the most boring cryptozoological creature that has ever existed.
With the Yeti.
Well, they're practically the same thing. Bigfoot, the Yeti, what else they call it? The Abominable Snowman, Tanner.
Sasquatch.
They're all incredibly boring. I don't care. If Bigfoot walked up to the door right now, the only way I would care that he was there, if he was carrying a Bigfoot pizza from Pizza Hut, then I would open the door and welcome in him. Otherwise, I'd say, eat dirt and kick rocks. He's boring. He was a terrible episode of Futurama.
Mm.
It wasn't funny. I'll say it. It was okay. He made that terrible Harry and the Hendersons movie. He made it. And he starred in it, and they got poor John Lithgow in it somehow. He directed it.
Original score by Bigfoot.
He's got that damn Jax Lynx commercials where you mess with Sasquatch. That's his brother, Sasquatch. He's a son of a bitch, too. And it's incredibly boring. But if I had a chance to go look at him with Jose Canseco, well, that's different. You can watch him hit a couple of zingers.
That's an extra layer of crazy on the crazy pizza, right?
And you're paying $5,000 for the privilege.
No, food's included. It's not.
Well, at least you're not starving. You're going to travel with him in his custom RV, which is attuned to the supernatural, to the alien's frequencies. And for $5,000, I could get a sex doll made up to look like his daughter.
You know, when you're right, you're right.
And for some extra money, we could probably put some AI in that. Or if you want it to be like his daughter, keep it brainless.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably going to end up creepy if you put AI in it.
Well, if you could beat me at StarCraft, at least I'd have something in common with her.
What?
Allie, you doing okay down there?
I wish I had my colored pencils.
Again, with the offensive terms and scene. All right. Main topic of tonight.
You're going to forget.
I'm going to forget.
He's going to forget. And then he's going to hear about it in the group chat.
Oh, no. I'm going to remember. If you'd like to know what I edited out of tonight's show, please email me at and just get on with it. So
edit it into the Patreon part.
That's too much work.
That's an extra Patreon. You got to pay $2 for that one. Main event topic of tonight, we're going to talk about paranormal television. First off, let me ask you, who here watches paranormal TV other than me?
I watch it with you.
I also watch it with you.
How many of you watch it because of me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched it when it's on, but I no longer have, you know, cable.
I, before you, watched A Haunting on the Discovery Channel.
Is that the one where they reenact it?
Yes.
I hate those shows.
It's a lot like...
I just watched Unsolved Mysteries.
I like that one.
It's a lot like one of the shows that we watch. What is it called?
Which one? They
reenact it.
Paranormal Survivor?
Yes.
No, Paranormal Witness.
Yes.
Yeah, but with Paranormal Witness, they also had actual footage and sound recordings and stuff like
that.
That's
true. A Haunting did not. It was the only one I knew about.
The thing I hate about The Haunting is that they take people's stories. You've seen The Haunting, right?
Yes.
They take people's stories. They reenact it with like terrible acting and graphics. That same demon is in every episode.
It sounds like the demon's outside.
Someone sounds angry.
Is it Bendy?
I think he was talking on speakerphone and yelling into it as he walked by.
I hate Broadway. What shows do you guys listen to at home? Do you watch? Did I say listen to?
Yes.
What
did.
Shows do you guys watch at home? Are you into the paranormal TV? I personally love it. I've watched everything that I can get my hands on.
I like Destination Truth.
Destination Truth with Josh Gates is a great show. Ghost Adventures is probably my favorite show right now. Don't at me.
Is it just ghost stuff?
No,
just like paranormal.
Okay. Yeah,
because like, I usually watch like the random Discovery Aliens, the weird alien shows that they have.
The dude with the hair.
Well, it's, that one
it's,
too.
It's not on the same level, but I always liked watching Ripley's Believe It or Not back in the day.
I'm not sure.
That's
that
borderline for me because that's stuff that actually happened. This is the more of the fantastical.
But then I'd watch the ghost stuff when it like because it would be on at around the same time.
I started with
the channel on.
I give a history of our experiences with it. First off, I started with the show called Sightings on Fox 23.
I remember Sightings.
Sightings was my absolute favorite show growing up. Did you ever see Sightings? I think I've mentioned it on this show numerous times.
I think I've seen a bit of it, but it's like none of the ghost ones I would watch more than a few episodes of because eventually it got really hokey.
Well, that's what I loved about Sightings. Sightings was Dateline with paranormal. It really was. Okay. It was paranormal Dateline. They had a host. He would introduce stories, and none of it was like reenactments. It was actual stories, and then they would go to places and talk about stuff. It was very, very cool. They have a couple documentaries that are on YouTube you can find. They did like specials, one's about UFOs, one's about ghosts, and they're really good. I recommend it.
I've probably seen the UFO one then.
More than likely. This show was all over Fox growing up, and I wish it had never gone away. It went to Sci-Fi and then kind of died from there. But the real big paranormal boom happened in the late 90s, early 2000s with Ghost Hunters. Once Ghost Hunters hit the airwaves, like, all of a sudden, the paranormal was always a popular subject, but all of a sudden, it was like the thing to watch, and everyone loved Ghost Hunters. From Ghost Hunters, there was also Most Haunted, came out of England. There was Ghost Adventures, like I mentioned before, and it gets to now, like, I can't even keep up with how many paranormal shows they have. There's Paranormal Lockdown. There is Ghost Brothers.
Yes.
Which is actually a really good show, by the way. It's about three African-American, they're ghost brothers, get it? The brothers. And it's really, really entertaining.
You also made fun of it a lot before you watched it.
That's true, because they always presented it as like Ghostbusters, but then they changed it to Ghost Brothers. And I always thought that was stupid. But they're
surprised you're not super into it.
I am now. They're extremely likable.
You are also, this isn't ghosts or aliens.
Say it. Say what I want to hear. Say
your
it.
Your favorite.
Say what I want to hear.
Mountain Monsters.
Mountain Monsters.
With Huckleberry.
With Huckleberry and Buck.
And them just shooting into the sky. And them talking about how they catch something every episode.
Yeah.
But you never see it. Because another one showed up.
And that it was messes them up.
Time. And released it.
One time they caught a Bigfoot.
And another one showed up.
No, it wasn't another Bigfoot. It was like his, or maybe they had caught like a chupacabra. They had caught another monster and Bigfoot rescued it. And it wasn't a Bigfoot. It was a type of Bigfoot. Apparently there's lots of different Bigfoots in the Appalachian Mountains.
You mean an Ewok?
What? Okay,
the hell are you saying?
It's like a midget Bigfoot.
You can't say that.
I'm going to move on from Mountain Monsters.
No.
Because I just wanted to make fun of you for it.
No, because that's actually a very important point I want to make. But go ahead, and then we'll come back to it.
I also wanted to bring up the documentary we watched one episode of that I really want to watch the rest of. What was it called about the Kentucky goblins?
Hell, I'll have to look it up.
Hellier. Because it has to do, it's the named after the place that they went to.
Yeah, so I've told this story before on the show. There was a incident that happened in, I believe, Kentucky in like the 50s or 60s or something like that. I get my numbers mixed up when I'm on medicine. But these people were at home. They were attacked by what they described as little green goblins. They shot their house up and then they left and said they weren't coming back.
I feel like I remember you telling this story before.
Because it's a ridiculous story. If you look at like the pictures that they drew of it and stuff, they look ridiculous and no one believes it. But the fact that they left their entire belongings behind and they left their stuff and they never went back to it kind of makes you think, well, why did they do that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a documentary about that because apparently it's happened again and these people are looking into it. It's supposed to be really
more
good.
There's a bunch of different stories.
I want to watch this one.
It's on YouTube.
A bunch
it's a
of
free
different
series.
Stories about these same type of creatures. Sometimes there's slight differences in them, but people are drawing creatures that look very similar that have different names. And so no one has ever made the connection between them.
Right.
But they're going through because they're getting a bunch of different stories from people.
That is a good paranormal television show because it asks questions, it looks at it scientifically, it looks at it objectively, and you feel interested, but you don't feel insulted by it. That is a show that you can show to friends and say, hey, this is interesting. Do you want to watch it? Now, let's go back to Mountain Monsters for a second. Everyone makes fun of shows like Ghost Adventures and all these paranormal shows that kind of feel the same, you know. But I think that Mountain Monsters has done more to damage the reputation of people that are looking for the unknown than anything in the history of existence.
I also agree with you.
It is the...
Because, again, they catch something every episode, but you never see it.
Well, they don't just catch something. They shoot at something. They are possessed by something. Like, it is so ridiculous. Have you ever watched Mountain Monsters?
Yes.
The defeated yes that he just gave. It is the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever seen, and yet I can't stop watching it. Yeah, and now I know I'm part of the problem.
So I stopped watching it. Like,
I can't. I'm so drawn in by Huckleberry and what he's doing this week. I'm fascinated.
You think that's
by
like the thing that happened with Duck Dynasty? Like, it was just people were drawn into it a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Yes.
The only difference is Duck Dynasty was just a bunch of rednecks that were rich and spouted off stupid things for humor. This is a show about
that,
a bunch
that
of rednecks.
Sounds exactly what you just described.
Yeah, but these people also call themselves scientists. These people say that they're actually out there looking for evidence of the supernatural and these creatures, you know, Bigfoot and hellhounds and all these different actual, like, Appalachian lore that people have talked about, you know, in the hundreds of years, the whatever. They're actually going out looking for it, and it's not so bad that they're looking for it and that they wear overalls and carry guns, but it's the fact that they find it every single episode. Like, uh-huh. It makes the whole paranormal community a joke, you know? So don't blame Ghost Adventures anymore.
It was like, oh, we got it, but you can't see it because it got away.
Is that your voice?
Yes. Shut up. I'm tired and I'm cold. Don't mock me. I'll mock you.
Keep going. I'm just going to let you burn yourself down.
It's fine. I'm sick.
I want to hear her mock you.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
It's not hard. So do you agree with me that...
That has done more damage?
Can we ever get a fair shake when you got idiots like this out there running around with guns and stuff?
No.
And that there are people that actually believe it's true? Because one, what does it air on? Is it? It's not Travel Channel.
I thought it was Destination America.
I think it's Destination America. That they promote this as a real thing. They don't say it's acting. They don't say it's faked. They say that this is a legitimate show, that these are real people finding real monsters, and they stand by it. And there are people who will believe that because they go, if it's on television and they say it's real, it's got to be real, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. No! Damn it.
There are a bunch of people who claim to be reputable in things that aren't the paranormal that don't cause that profession or whatever it is to be disreputable.
Yeah, but is this a profession that already had a stigma against it?
It depends on your perspective.
Because, I mean, like, if you tell, even though I think belief in the paranormal is up and a lot of people are way more open-minded about it these days than they've ever been before, if you tell the average person that you either believe in this or that you at least are open to the consideration of it, they'll call you crazy, or they'll insult you or tell you why you're wrong, you know. And I feel like whenever you turn the TV on and you got these idiots running around, it makes us all look bad. It's like you've seen the new Ghostbusters movie, the all female one.
Yes.
When they're talking about the paranormal in the lab, and then the show, what was it called, Ghost Chasers or something like that comes on, and she said, you know, this is the reason no one takes us seriously, because these idiots. It's the same thing.
Right. And I understand that, but then there's also, like, I might be throwing somebody under the bus that I don't know about, but this is my belief, so, you know, fight me if you want.
Who are you throwing under the bus? I'm curious.
I don't know. Just, I'm about to talk about anti-vaxxers, so.
Oh, okay.
Like,
Calvin Hebert.
The scientific community is very much vaccines work, and that's credible, yet there's all these other quote-unquote scientists that say you shouldn't vaccinate your kids.
There was one, and he is no longer a scientist.
Right, exactly. Like,
he is no longer a doctor. He can never be a doctor again.
Yeah, but
at least not that kind of doctor.
But even if that's true, that one doctor.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, poisoned how many minds?
There's. At what point does that make scientists disreputable?
Right.
And so far, at least in my opinion, scientists are, especially in the medical field, are fairly reputable. But there's always that little, like, is it a ripoff? You know, do flu shots actually work? And for the record, yes.
They're also not the same thing as a vaccine.
Also, yes. Please stop it. Like, just, we have Google. Please, people.
At least with my thing, it's not like a life or death situation.
Right,
you know?
Right. I'm just trying to.
People still look at the paranormal. People still look at the paranormal like it's a
taboo.
It's a taboo. It's a fun.
Sure.
It's a fun thing to talk about.
Well, and now people are looking at vaccines like they're taboo.
And like, a fun thing to talk about and make fun of.
Yeah.
Do you think that evidence found on these shows can be taken seriously? Like, even the good shows.
It depends on what kind of evidence and under. It depends on what kind of evidence it is. I think that they have found evidence that is, like, credible. But I think that there is also a lot of the evidence that isn't credible.
You think it's faked for ratings?
Depending on the show.
Sure. Which show do you think is the least reputable? You're going to say Ghost Adventures. Don't say Mountain Monsters. No, Mountain Monsters.
Mountain Monsters.
It's Mountain Monsters.
That one wins automatically. You have to take that one out of the debate.
Well, what's the... Man, I can't remember any of the names of the shows.
Just say Ghost Adventures.
Sure. Ghost Adventures.
Because that's
like
the one with Scooby Doo and the gang.
Post Malone.
And Post Malone.
He was on episode. That's when you started to like Post Malone. You just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah, and that really lends credibility to the cause. Hey, we got Post Malone on our side. Literally looks
People
like
love
the ectoplasm
him.
Slimer left that became human. He looks like a zombie pre-made.
I showed you the picture he posted whenever he was gonna, like, where he was wearing tiny little sunglasses and he just wrote, "I'm gonna go catch some ghosts."
Oh, sheesh.
You get so much joy out of Post Malone. I think that's a topic for another show.
It's
How is Post Malone supernatural?
He was on Ghost Adventures.
That's it? That's the only connection?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on an episode of Ghost Adventures, and yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. But most of the what you got me cussing now on the air?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Your damn Post Malone obsession.
You can blame Elizabeth.
I'm glad there is a channel dedicated to the stuff that I'm interested in. It's called Destination America. It used to be dedicated to it for the most part. They had like that plus TNA wrestling. So they kind of combined everything I'm interested in into one.
TNA was on there?
TNA was on Destination America before it was on Pop TV.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
That is a real weird combo,
because,
man.
Well, that's how I found about Mountain Monsters. Because it was like Mountain Monsters followed by Impact, followed by another episode of Mountain Monsters. Then the Mountain Monsters Marathon.
Why?
Maybe they know their demographic better than I think, but like, what?
You're wondering why wrestling? And
yeah,
it's not the first time Sci-Fi Channel.
That's a weird sandwich, man.
SmackDown was on the Sci-Fi Channel for 10 years. Yeah, the very first episode of ECW.
It was ECW.
I forgot that.
And then
I used
SmackDown.
To watch Sci-Fi
I think
all the time.
Yeah,
and like.
So ECW was on Sci-Fi, and the very first episode, one of the first people, maybe the first character you saw come out was a zombie. It was the ECW zombie. He came out, he went, and then he got beat up by the Sandman. They did that to poke fun at Sci-Fi. Originally, they wanted it to be an alien, but Sci-Fi executives were like, no, that's too far.
What?
You can make fun of zombies, but you can't make fun of space aliens. That's where we at Sci-Fi draw the line.
Well, see,
also, we're changing our name from Sci-Fi
to
Sci-Fi.
Also, yes.
So dumb.
But, see, zombies are unintelligent creatures that can't get offended. If aliens exist, they might find it offensive.
And then it's Mars Attacks. All over again. So the point of this, and we're getting way off topic, we only have a few minutes left here, is that I want there to be serious consideration of the scientific community when it comes to the paranormal. And I feel like these shows that are there for entertainment purposes only, even if they find good evidence, no one will ever take it seriously. And I feel like they're doing more harm to what could be a serious study than anything else, because they present these as real life things. It's not like it's a dramatic show about it, like The X-Files. The X-Files was fine.
I like X-Files.
Yeah, it's like CSI. It's a dramatic retelling of something that could or could not happen. But when you have shows where they're telling you this is real, it's hard to believe them. And it kind of makes people not believe it. And I think that's dangerous to our cause. Us being myself and Calvin, possibly. Maybe Allie. Maybe Lindsay. I don't know. I don't even think they know where they're at right now. Lindsay is probably playing dress up Nikki.
I did that earlier. I'm out of stamina.
And Allie's down there drawing something. Is that Post Malone?
No. It's from her game. I'm pretty sure that's a smile.
Bendy?
Yes.
Well, Allie, in the few minutes we have left here before we say goodnight to everybody on another I Want to Believe, where we've talked about zombie deer and incredibly smart AI, and we've talked about ghost ships, and we've talked about Jose Canseco and TV. Tell us about Bendy and the Ink Machine, because it is horror related, and you just beat it.
I did. It's a...
Don't tell us what it... Well, tell us what it is, then tell us what you thought of it.
It's a game where you go through an old animation studio.
Rubber hose animation.
Old yes. Mickey Mouse
like
style.
Old, like, 1920s yes. animation.
Yeah. The good stuff. And, the creepy stuff.
There's five chapters, and it's creepy, and it's fun, and it gets difficult, and especially chapter 4 and 5, but I really enjoy it, and I beat it in, like, 3 days.
She did? It's the first game she's ever beaten, I'm pretty sure.
Other than possibly the Kim Possible game I had on my Game Boy. But I'm not sure I ever actually finished that.
Didn't you beat a Kirby game? I thought you beat Kirby Air Ride.
Did I ever actually... I thought I always just, like, did Free Ride.
Free Ride.
Maybe.
Take it easy.
I can't remember if there's, like, a story mode in that thing or not.
I'm pretty sure there's a story mode in Kirby.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if there is a story mode, I'm pretty sure you beat it because you played that a lot.
I literally played that every day after school.
This show is just...
Hey, Kirby's a space alien. It's relevant.
Gone off the rails since its inception. We've had a good, almost a good. We've
what
had
do
a good,
you mean Kirby's a space alien?
We've had a good year. I think it may be time to retire the Tuesday show.
Criticize where the show goes with how often you get off track with things that have nothing to do with the topic.
Like Post Malone?
He was on Ghost Adventures. It was relevant. You also
no, we were sitting in silence for the last 2 minutes.
I don't feel
you
good.
You had Post Malone on your Spotify before did, so.
She's still talking.
Yep. I'm going to keep talking so you don't get your silence.
Oh, I'll get my silence someday.
Nope. I'm just going to keep talking.
Tomorrow on an all-new Pro Wrestling Unscripted, for those of you that are interested, you know, this is, the network is kind of like...
Yeah, sci-fi. I know. I know. That's why I was like, maybe they know the demographic. Maybe that's just a thing that is a correlation nobody realized existed.
You follow up the paranormal with wrestling. It's a winning success story. And then on Thursday,
then a train wreck.
And then on Thursday, we'll have Post Malone music.
No.
I can hear the drips already over there.
Do we have to?
And that's from Lindsay's nose.
I'm sorry that I am a snot factory right now.
You ever play Earthworm Jim?
Yes.
Remember the snot?
Yes.
That he had in his backpack? That, like, yeah, that was gross.
Why did he have snot in his backpack?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember anything of the story of Earthworm Jim.
I don't either.
I know who Earthworm Jim is.
That it was more difficult than
yeah.
it needed
most
to be.
Games.
He yeah. was an earthworm in a giant power suit.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a cartoon also?
He did have a cartoon, and he was trying to save Princess What's-Her-Name.
Was it really Princess What's-Her-Name?
Yeah.
I almost said Princess Daphne, but that's
Dragon's
Lair.
Yeah, Princess What's-Her-Name. And she was a giant sexy bee girl.
Aww.
And there was the evil queen, ugly queen slug for a butt or something like that.
I never watched her
play. Did she produce Slurm?
Slurm!
And his arch rival was Psycro. Wimmy Wham Wham Wazzle. All right. Slurms is done partying. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thank you. Have a great night. And make sure you go check out Sunflower from the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack featuring Post Malone on Spotify. You guys have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow for BWU. Later.